Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 1, Text Number 3. Chapatispa Bhagavan. Ichistasyam Ajitshana. Mitunam Dhamma Vachasvi. Paramena Samadhina. Chapati. One who is entrusted to beget children. Saha, he, Bhagavan, the most opulent, Ruchi, the great sage Ruchi, Tasyam, in her, Ajijanat, gave birth, Putunam, couple, Ramavarachasri, very much spiritually powerful. Paramena, with great strength, Samadhina, in trance. Translation, Ruchi, who was very powerful in his Brahminical qualifications and was appointed one of the progenitors of the living entities, begot one son and one daughter by his wife, Aputi. Please repeat. Ruchi, who was very powerful in his Brahminical qualifications and was appointed one of the progenitors of the living entities, begot one son and one daughter by his wife, Akuti. The word Brahmavarachasri is very significant. Ruchi was a brahmana and he executed the brahminical duties very rigidly. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, the brahminical qualifications are control of the senses, control of the mind, cleanliness within and without, development of spiritual and material knowledge, simplicity, truthfulness, faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, etc. There are many qualities which indicate a Brahminical personality, and it is understood that Ruchi followed all the Brahminical principles rigidly. Therefore, he is specifically mentioned as Brahmavarachasri. One who is born of a Brahmana father but does not act as a Brahmana is called, in Vedic language, a Brahmabandhu, and is calculated to be on the level of sutras and women. Thus, in the Bhagavatam, we find that Mahabharata was specifically compiled by Vyasadeva for Stri Suja Brahma Bandhu. Stri means women, Suja means the lower class of civilized human society, and the Brahma Bandhu means persons who are born in the families of Brahmanas but do not follow the rules and regulations carefully. All of these three classes are called less intelligent. They have no access to the study of the Vedas, which are specifically meant for persons who have acquired the Brahminical qualifications. This restriction is not based on any sectarian distinction, but on qualification. The Vedic literatures cannot be understood unless one has developed the Brahminical qualifications. It is regrettable, therefore, that persons who have no Brahminical qualifications and have never been trained under bona fide spiritual master nevertheless comment on the Vedic literatures like the Srimad Bhagavatam and other Puranas, for they cannot deliver their real message. Ruchi was considered the first class Brahmana. Therefore, he is mentioned here as Brahman Vachasri, one who has full prowess in Brahminical strength. In the proper. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Chaimne Me Vishnu Krishna Vani Kasyapi Sakarani Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivas Hari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Translation again. Ruchi, who was very powerful in the Brahminical qualification, and was appointed by one of the progenitors of the living entities, he got one son and one daughter for his wife, Akuti. It is chapters, the section is dealing with the population of the planet Earth from the very, very early days. And so that this will add validity to the Srimad Bhagavatam. You mentioned historical names, personalities, family lineage that can be traced back. Here it is, Ruchi, who is very pure, was given a kuti on the request that their son be handed back to Manu, the father of Ruchi, Akuti. So the son born of Ruchi and Akuti was an expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord always appears in a very pure place. So only therefore he chose Ruchi. Of course the Lord can appear anywhere. Everywhere is pure for him. This is how the story goes. The Shivova mentions that the brahmanical qualifications have control in the senses, control in the mind, and cleanliness, developing spiritual knowledge, simplicity, truthfulness, faith in God, etc. So these things are normally essential for understanding the Lord, although they may be material qualifications that one is able to control the senses, one is very clean, one is very pure in his activities, one is very dutiful or religious. But these duties are the purpose of these rules, regulations, and these qualifications is to make the body a suitable, receptacle for realizing transcendence, for realizing God, which is the actual purpose of life. So the body is a medium, body and mind, so the gross body is hari bodily, is a medium. How are we going to understand God, how to make a solution to the problems of life? What else do we have? We have this body, we have this mind, we have these senses and mind, which is we're conditioned to, we're attached to, we don't know anything else in the conditioned state, although the body is, it says, not an unwanted thing, in fact, because the soul doesn't actually need the body. The body is an encumbrance in one sense. But the human body offers this opportunity. It's the best kind of body you can, material body you can achieve, because in its human form, the body is designed that if it's utilized properly, then it will be able to receive this transcendental knowledge. So therefore, although you may think that, you know, regulation or cleanliness, what's that got to do with knowing God or spiritual life? This is the scientific procedure given. To understand the Lord requires a very sober consciousness. and has to be peaceful. So if we don't, these rules or these qualities, one is known by, or one is recommended to develop, or these qualities are glorified, the qualities of a Brahmana are glorified. Although one who is not a Brahmana shouldn't artificially take that position, they should understand that this is actually a better position to be in. A Brahmin is better than a better body than a Sudra body. So I should aspire actually to become a Brahmana in the material sense. It's a better situation. Because Brahman means mode of goodness, right? And Sudra means mode of ignorance. And a woman's body, if there's a not so conducive, because of the psycho-physical nature of the woman's body, that the woman's mind can't go so far intellectually, can't keep. It has to come back. It's kept in check by the emotional side, so they can't go so far. Generally, philosophically, in one mind. Of course, there's always exceptions. There's a lot more, you know, spiritual women or controlled women than men. In general, this is the situation. So therefore, the women and the sutras don't study the Vedas because they won't get the. It's difficult for someone in the mode of ignorance to get the true meaning. One has to be in the mode of goodness, and then ultimately the purpose is to come in pure goodness or transcendence, then we can actually appreciate what is being said. Otherwise, whatever knowledge you receive, you're bound to interpret it through your particular flavor, your particular nature. So one man's food is another man's poison. So what is, Krishna mentions that in the Bhagavad Gita, different types, the different faiths of people, faith in the mode of ignorance, the different natures, faith in the mode of ignorance, passion and goodness, and the food, and the activities. And so depending on your, whatever mode you're characterized by, then that will be your nature, and you'll like this certain things, and you won't have much taste for another kind of thing. That is your actual nature. So therefore the brahminical qualities are glorified because they're actually purer than the other. They're more in the mode of goodness than the passion and ignorance. So therefore it's actually a better situation. Okay then, in Kali Yuga everyone is born Sudra, so why are we studying the Puranas? Why are we studying the Srimad Bhagavatam? Well, it's mentioned here that, you know, the Mahabharata was meant for less qualified people. and also the scripture actually shouldn't be read, because if one has, they say a little learning is dangerous. I mean, if someone is not qualified and they have some knowledge, spiritual knowledge, it could easily be misused. Or misinterpreted, better. Because the realization won't come along with the knowledge unless one is actually in a pure condition. So you have the knowledge, but you don't have the adhikar, you don't have the actual qualification, you're not able to assimilate that, the real meaning of that knowledge, and so you'll apply it in your context. When the sutra reads, applies this knowledge, you apply it like this, a Vaishya like this, and a Kshatriya like this, and a Brahman like this. That would be their, you know, the amount of their realization, that they will act according to that. But of course, it's actually meant for those who are free of passion and ignorance, because then that knowledge is more sustaining and more beneficial. Activities in the mode of passion, that means if you're executing knowledge in the mode of passion, it's interpreted or colored by the mode of passion, then the result would be distress, suffering, activities performed in the mode of, and the activities performed in the mode of ignorance will cause pain ultimately. But you won't see that. If you're in that particular mode, you won't see that, because you're more, the more covered you are, the more short-sighted you are. So you only see this goal. So the mode of goodness, the mode of passion, this goal, the mode of the mode of ignorance, this goal, the mode of passion, this goal, this much, and the mode of goodness, this much. So you'll get whatever, however much you're affected by the modes of nature, that much of the essence, the truth, the real meaning, you can actually take. So therefore these qualifications, these qualities and known by activities, by practice and association and training, you can develop these qualities also, is what we're trying to do. That is the purpose of the whole religious system, Varnashram system, that one can become gradually purified from the lower modes. Kali Yuga is, everything's topsy-turvy. But then the actual saving grace in Kali Yuga is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is not demanding qualification. So that's one of the main reasons, apart from he's given love of God, one of the main reasons of his Mahavaranaya, his magnanimity, is that he's not asking for qualifications, he's not asking for purification. He's accepting service from anyone. The qualification is faith in Kali Yuga. And he will accept your service. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So through Chaitanya, through the Supreme Personality of Godhead, exhibiting his most charitable form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then it's available to everyone. Nobody's buying. It's simply faith, and simply one has to take, accept it, and have faith in it. That's his. That's the qualification, and then he will accept your service. So your service, you're actually able to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly in Kali Yuga, in the most whether you're in the mode of goodness, passion, or ignorance, that service will be accepted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that is the benediction of Kali Yuga, this opportunity is only available for a very, very brief period in history. 10,000 years, it's not very much, just the open and closing of the door. It's very brief. We can consider ourselves fortunately born in this period and have this opportunity. But still, the culture which is given here is the standard of human life. So that should be a standard. That we should know that the best way to live in this world is this standard. Varnashram Dharma, for instance. That is the best we can do. almost very difficult to practice in Kali Yuga. Very, very difficult. Things aren't in place. The authorities, the governments won't even let you do certain things. There are certain laws you have to live within in the countries which are against the principles of Bhagavatam, and because our leaders have not proper guidance. They're also situated mainly in the mode of passion. So they're also short-sighted. So for them, these goals will be a little too esoteric or a little unreal. Not practical. And of Kali Yuga, it's a real problem. There are real problems, and they're very difficult to resolve. But by the Lord's mercy, He's given us an opportunity where we can. It's not that He wants everyone to come to the mode of goodness. He wants everyone to love Krishna. So there's, for in devotional service, Krishna is not. That's also not a prerequisite for Krishna. at least by activity, at least by karma, You can be classified in any of those. Brahma, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Sudra. Even animals, like Lord Ramchandra, as his monkeys, and forest people. Krishna has the forest, even the forest aboriginal people. They love Krishna. So it's not a prerequisite. This is just the program that one goes through. So it keeps your birth improving in the material world. This, we're talking about the material aspect of it now. This material Varnashram Dharma. You will gradually increase in your life. You get a better opportunity next birth, a more comfortable situation in life. You won't suffer so much. You have a better body, more facility. While you're waiting to actually perfect, develop your love for God. So this is the material side of it. So it shouldn't be neglected. And it's a safety net to stop us from falling to less than human life, where we have no chance of understanding these things. So therefore it's glorified to keep everything sane and peaceful. If we don't follow it, we see what it's like in Kali Yuga. We think the 21st century is not so bad, because we haven't known anything else but the 21st century. Some of us know the end of the 20th century, but that's our knowledge, we're conditioned into that. We think it's not so bad, not so much different than it was 50 years ago or 60 or 70 years ago. We think life is not so bad, because there's not a lot of difference from when we were born, and your children will feel exactly the same. And when you're born, people only grow this big, and there's no fruits in the mode of goodness, no vegetables, fruits, milk, sugar, etc., grains. You'll think that's normal. You'll think life is not so bad, because that's all you know. And then you read these stories and you think, come on, people grew 6 feet in the year 2010. Pull the other leg, will you? So you just won't believe it. Just like, for a faithless person, it's difficult to believe that people fly around in these Havanas and take on different forms and different number of arms and different heads. It's difficult for an ordinary person to accept. But this is out of our experience. But anyway, the rules are there for the to assist in approaching the Lord. So whatever is favorable, we should accept. So these rules are the most favorable situation we can set ourselves in. So we should try as far as possible to follow. In ISKCON, in Kali Yuga, Prabhupada has given a basic framework to stay within, four regulative principles, and chant 60 manas, it means a couple of hours minimum, daily. Then that's a very minimum. If you can do that, then you'll be that will be accepted by the acharya. You'll be recommended. But over and above that, you can always try to improve. Our Deep Pamalochan Prabhu was a very extraordinary personality. As you may know, usually if he hadn't been sick, he probably would have been sitting here today. He used to give class on a Friday. And a little controversial sometimes by his behavior, Abadut, very detached from her body, never wore shoes, summer, winter, even if you offered him socks sometimes, at least in the temple, wear some socks, take a bath in the Ganga every day. he would start his chanting at about midnight. We come to the temple, chant very slowly, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And he would chant from that time, midnight, right to the morning program. I think then he would go and take his bath in Ganga. Take Ganga, only drink Ganga water. And very learned in scripture, so many pastimes of Krishna that he knows. He lived in Vrindavan for many, many years. He used to wander all around Vrindavan barefoot. Very austere. And many years ago, he was diagnosed with leukemia. And he stopped eating grains. He was just taking milk, he was just one of the milk fast. And he got over that, apparently. But still he kept up his fast. He only used to take fruit and milk for how many years, I don't know. Many, many years, that's all he's eating. Some milk products, some fruit. He practiced some quite austere life he led. He's quite a introverted person, he's friendly, quite funny also when you get to know him, but he definitely wasn't a socialite. He would never come to any, of course, he'd come to the temple programs, the abhishekhs and things like that. But otherwise he wouldn't socialize even. He was doing a lot of research. He knows all of Krishna's pastimes. He knows all the places. He's been there. Navadvip also. He's go around on his bicycle and walking and finding out. He's written various books, more books. Right now he's just working on a whole compendium of the Navadvip, the places in Navadvip, the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a very exhaustive thing. But he's been working on that for many years. We hope that someone can finish that off. There's a lot of knowledge and insight. Very psychic also. Very in tune with what's going on, and very able to pick out things, whatever's going on, uncannily. So, like I say, I don't know many people. He wasn't a very social person, so many people don't know. I didn't have such a close relationship with him. Jananu's had a much closer relationship. I did know him from London. First time I recognized him, devotees were talking, and so Prabhupada said this. So if you said Prabhupada said, then there was no question, no argument, that was the gospel. And he said, "Who said Prabhupada said?" First time I ever heard it, probably the first time anyone heard it. Prabhupada didn't say that. Because he was with Prabhupada when Prabhupada came to India and did the Vrindavan Prakram, gave those Nectar of Devotion series. He was with him at that time. Right, quite controversial figure, quite unpredictable in some ways. But he was very austere, and who could do that? Who could get up and come to the temple every night, winter, summer, midnight, chant all night? Very austere. Once at the Kumbh Mela, I think that time Srila Prabhupada was around the 70, whatever it was, 60. He was just reading books. But he was walking around in his kolpin. He had a chain around his waist and a kolpin, and he was going around distributing books, because that's the place where all the sadhus go, and all the sadhus, everyone's respecting, so he walked up like a kolpin baba, and everyone would go, and he would say, "Take a book." So he used that technique for distributing books. So anyway, he was ready to leave his body. And he was very fond of the pastimes of Hare Krishna. And he had a lot of realizations. So we pray that if he's not already back at the lotus feet of Radha Madhava, that he has a very pleasant voyage towards the service of Radha Madhava once again. Ramalocan Prabhu ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Sri Prabhupada ki jai. Bhagavatam nandi.